The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ Our beloved master صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم said, anyone who recites 50 times درود upon me every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The viewers of Madri channel, one of our pious predecessors says about Hazrat Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi ta'ala that I did not see anyone who left this world better than the condition of Hazrat Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi ta'ala. When he left this world, he was free from each and every trace of this world. He was at his deathbed and a beggar came and asked for something. Hazrat Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi ta'ala didn't have anything in his possession other than one dress which he was wearing that time. Hazrat Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ordered the people who were around him to remove his dress from his body and give that dress to that beggar. And then he borrowed a dress from someone and put on, and in this state he passed away. Reviewers of Madri channel, it shows that how much disinterested our pious predecessors were regarding the matters of dunya. And then they used to be all the time caring for others. They were more concerned about the needs of others than themselves. Allahu Akbar. It is written in Kimya Saadat that Hazrat Shaykh Antaki rahmatullahi ta'ala, he invited 39 murids. When they came and gathered in a place, there was not enough food for them. So whatever they had, few pieces of bread, they collected and put in front of themselves on a dining cloth. Then the lamp was put out and all of them started eating. After a while, when host thought that now they all of them have eaten enough, he lit the lamp again. And he was astonished to see that no one ate. Why? Because everyone was thinking, let other brother eat and inshallah I will stay hungry and I will do ithar. Reviewers of Madni channel, in the battle of Tabuk, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that one of my cousins, he also participated in that battle. And at the end of the battle, he was fatally wounded. At that time, it was my responsibility to give water to the soldiers. So when I reached to him, he was fatally wounded. I gave water to him. He refused and indicated towards a direction and said, so and so person is there, go and give water first to him. Hazrat Huzaifa says that I went to that direction and it was Hasham bin As, and he was also wounded. When I gave him water, he also refused and said, go first to your cousin and give him water and then come back to me. Hazrat Huzaifa says that I went to the direction of my cousin, but he had passed away. Then I returned back to Hasham bin As and I saw that he had also passed away. Reviewers of Madni channel, both of them at their deathbed, they wanted to fulfill the need of other, not they. Both of them were more concerned about the need of other brother. Allahu Akbar. So this is also one of the qualities of the Muslims. And host and guest relationship is also like this, that host prefers the need of his guest to his needs. So dear viewers of Madri channel, as we are discussing the etiquettes of host and guest, so inshallah we'll start the silsila from where we left in last silsila. Mufti sahab, in last silsila we were discussing, and then you gave a beautiful story as well, that once our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was invited with four people to house of a certain sahabi. So then another sahabi, he also wanted to join Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he also went with Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when reached that place, first he sought permission for that sahabi which was not initially invited, then he sat for eating. So my question is that nowadays it also happens that someone is invited with only four people or five people, but when he reaches there, he has two, three extra brothers. So my question is it allowed for someone to go with extra brothers who are not invited and then seek permission from the host at that time, at that place?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Going to invitation and accompanying another person which is not invited, so it depends upon the situation. Sometimes the person is the person has some certain status, and because of his status, if he requests for the extra person, so he would be given permission as well. But it doesn't happen with everyone. So that's why I would say, if a person has some status and according to his status, if he seeks permission from his host and then he gives permission, so then he can accompany another extra person. But if that is not the case, so then it must not be done. Because nowadays, if any person seeks permission, so might be because of shyness that another person gives permission, but inwardly he is not happy, he is not pleased with that. So that's why it must not happen. Sometimes just because of some needs and because of some other matters, this could be done. As there is another hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was invited somewhere. Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are invited at my home." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Am I invited alone, or am I invited with Aisha?" That Sahabi answered, "Ya Rasulullah, you are invited alone." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "So then I am not going. If you invite Aisha, then I will go." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, no, you are invited alone." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted him. Then at the end, that Sahabi said, "Okay, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are invited with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha as well." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his home along with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So in this hadith, it has been stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted on inviting Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha as well. Why? Then the interpreter of that hadith mentioned, might be Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had been hungry for many times. So because of, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also hungry for many times, and now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was invited. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like to eat food without Hazrat Aisha, who was in the same situation, who was in the same condition, in the same hunger. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted, and because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that this person will give permission, and he will give permission from the core of his heart. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted. But this is not the situation of every person. Might be we insist someone that you must invite that person, then I will come to your home. So he might give permission because of our insistence, but he might not give permission from the core of his heart. So apparently and outwardly he gives permission, but inwardly he is not pleased and he is not happy. So that's why we shouldn't insist any person to invite other person. Though if there is very good relations and they are very frank to each other, and because of that friendship and frankness, if this person is requesting him to invite other people, so then it is allowed. But I would say it depends upon the condition. If there is frankness and the person is highly ranked person, and he knows that this person will give permission with his happiness, so then this person would insist a request. Otherwise, he should avoid.
Acha, Muhsam, I mean, Huzoor sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is a complete role model for us. And the entire Muslim Ummah seeks guidance from his personality. So here I request you to tell us something regarding when Huzoor sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was guest and some other Sahabi was host.
In the books of Ahadith and in the books of Seerah, there would be dozens of stories regarding the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the guest of someone, as that story what you have mentioned now, Hazrat Abu Shu'aib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was host and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was invited, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guest there. And similarly, at the house of Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam used to become guest many times. Most of the time he was invited at the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And in many other places Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became guest, as there is very famous story regarding the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah to Medina. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived Madinatul Munawwara, so first near Quba, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed there for waiting Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Hazrat Ali behind him to give the trust of people to them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu at that place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed there for 17 days. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into Madinatul Munawwara. And all the people of Madinatul Munawwara, all the people of Ansar, they were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the she camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered to the city of Medina, so every Ansari Sahabi was requesting to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay at their homes, at his home. So everyone was saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Let my she camel to go. It will sit where Allah Azza wa Jal will command her. So it will stay there." So then the she camel went on till that sat near the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu requested, "Ya Rasulullah, it has sit near to my house, so that's why I'm your host. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so then he collected all the stuff of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he shifted that at his home, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to his house, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed there for 7 months. After that, when the hujras of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was built around Masjid Nabawi Sharif, so then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shifted those hujras, those homes. And during that period, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was staying at the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu played his role as a host in the best way. So whatever he cooked, first he presented in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam would eat. After that, whatever is left over, that went back to the family of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And then what was the routine of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife? They tried to search that place, the of pot where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has eaten, where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fingers touched. So they took their morsels from that place. So that was reverence and that was the respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hearts of that family, and they showed that respect for 7 months. And during that period, so there were many other stories regarding the reverence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he showed regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that 7 month period was the period of being guest for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was guest in the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari, and Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now he is, though many other Sahaba ikram, many other Ansar, many other Muhajirin, they became the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the name of the host of Rasulullah is special for Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu till this day. Even nowadays, the people, when they go to Turkey, so because the dome of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari, the grave of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu is there, So the people go there and they must visit the dome of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he is the most famous personality in that whole country, because he was the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he hosted in the best way. So that is one of the stories which is regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be guest.
Musa, but there must be many stories, as you are only giving one story. So if it is possible, some other stories which are going to, you know, rekindle our iman and, you know, refresh us.
Yeah, once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was feeling hunger. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of his house, and he saw there was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on the way. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What happened to you?" He asked, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm hungry." So then when they moved forward, so then Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala was also there, and he was also in the same condition. So then these three personalities went to the house of one Sahabi. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived at the house of that Ansari Sahabi, he was not at home. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered to the slave girl of that Sahabi, and he prepared all the things for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was without the permission of the owner. But when that Sahabi came back, and when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he got too much happy that he set free that slave girl. That because he entertained Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she served with food to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he got too much happy. He set free that slave girl. So that was another story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the guest of someone.
Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari, he is buried in Turkey. So Turkey is 1,000 miles away from Arabia, and Hazrat Abu Ayyub was actually from Medina. So why did he migrate to Turkey? What was the reason?
He went there for jihad because there was a city with the name of Constantinople, and there was great tidings from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for those people who went on jihad to conquer that city. So that's why Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala went there, and he was martyred in that place, near the wall of that fort, that city. So he was martyred in that place and he was buried there. So that's why for that purpose of jihad, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu went there.
Okay, Musab, now, I mean, you told us that this was, that Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guest and Sahaba were host. Now, if it is possible, please give us something like Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is hosting other people. So what was his behavior and attitude when he was host?
Most of the time, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was host of other people. As the people used to come from other tribes, so they used to come from other tribes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for accepting Islam, or for learning Islam, for learning the teachings of Islam. So they would become the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So there are many stories, as one story you have told in previous insta or before that. One person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am suffering from hunger and fatigue, so please serve me with some food." So Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sent someone to his house to get something, but there was nothing with Azwaj Mutahharat. So he came back and he told Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "There is nothing with Azwaj Mutahharat." So then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam said to his companions around him, who will take this person to his house to provide him food. So one Ansari Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so he stood up, he got up, he requested, "Ya Rasulullah, I am the host of this person." So then he took that guest to his house, and he said to his wife that this is the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so don't keep anything away from him. So she answered, "I have nothing except the children's food." So he said, "Okay, so put children to bed, and then put the lamp off, and we will sit with him, and he will eat." So then he did that. And the next morning, when that Sahabi came to the Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Allah azza wa jal is very pleased with your hosting." So that person was basically the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why that Ansari sahib said to his wife, this is the guest of the messenger of Allah azza wa jal. And there is another story, and it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to invite the people of Sufa, ashab Sufa. He used to invite them to his house to feed them. So they were in big numbers. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mostly feed 10 of them, 20 of them, 25 of them. And if there are other people, so then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam send those ashab Sufa with other sahaba ikram. So there is one hadith in Bukhari Sharif in which it has been mentioned, once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited 10 of ashab Sufa to his house and sent 3 sahaba ashab Sufa with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and who took them to their house and handed them over to Hazrat Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala and served them with food and handed them over to Sayyidina Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and went back to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as usual, and he stayed in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam till late night. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu ate his food with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. And when late night when he came back, so he asked his wife, so have they been served with food? So his wife radiallahu ta'ala anha, she answered, what has detained you from your guest? Because they have been served with food, but they refused to eat. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu got angry with Abdul Rahman, why don't you feed them? So then after a while, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sat with them and he ate with them. So what happened that time? One miracle appears that time. When they satisfied their hunger, at the end, when Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala looked at food, that was more than the previous. Then he called his wife and said to her, look at his food. It looks more than previous. So when she looked at that, so she said, it looked 3 times more than the original quantity. So the next day, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala took that food to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and told him the story. And there were 12 leaders of tribe. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam for some treaties which were between Muslims and those tribes. So they were 12. They were 12 leaders of tribes. And with each leader, there were many other people. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam served them with the same food, which was prepared only for 4 or 5 or 6 people. So all those people ate that food along with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and that was at the same quantity. So that was another story of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to be host. So that was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to host other people who came for accepting Islam or who came from some other matters. And particularly Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was the host of Ashabi Sufa, because they remained there all the time. They stayed there in Masjid Nabi all the time. So Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was their host.
Asim Musab, before moving to the next question, who were Ashabi Sufa? I mean, what was their occupation? What they used to do when they were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Ashabi Sufa radiallahu ta'ala anhu were those companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam who stayed in Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif, near Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif. Basically, in the neighborhood of Masjid-e-Nabawi, there was a raised place. Sufa means raised place. So those sahaba ikram stayed there. Why? Because those sahaba who migrated from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, so because they left behind all their stuff, houses and wives and children and their business, so that's why they were deprived of everything. So that's why they stayed at that place, and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam provided that place to them. Because of their that problem, they stayed at that place. So first they were only muhajirin, the migrants. But after that, many other sahaba ikram who were Ansar, who accepted Islam, and they didn't have a house and they didn't have any accommodation, so they stayed at the same place as well. As Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he was from Madinatul Munawwara. He was not a migrant, but he used to stay at the same place. He was one of Ashab-e Suffa. So these were Ashab-e Suffa, and they were very pious, because all the time they remained busy only in worship, in offering nafal prayer, in learning the Holy Quran, in teaching the Holy Quran. Because those who have learned, they used to teach other Sahaba Ikram the Holy Quran. That was their routine and that was their job to do. And they were the preachers of Islam. There is very sorrowful story regarding some of these Ashab-e Suffa. Once Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was requested to send some preachers to one area. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sent 70 Ashab-e Suffa to that area. But that was only one kind of conspiracy and that was only one kind of deception. So the inviter, when these 70 Sahaba-e-Kiram reached a certain place, so the attackers were hiding there. So they attacked these Sahaba-e-Kiram and they killed all these Ashab-e Suffa. The 70 Sahaba-e-Kiram, the 70 Ashab-e Suffa were killed at that place. So then for the whole month, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam prayed against those tribes who invited the Sahaba-e-Kiram and then assassinated the Sahaba-e-Kiram. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam remained sorrowful for many days. He remained sorrowful. And so these were Sahaba-e-Kiram, these were Ashab-e Suffa. They were Ahlul Zikr, they were Ahlul Ilm, and they were Ahlul Ibadah, they were Abideen. So these were those Sahaba-e-Kiram. And one of them was Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who narrated the most of Ahadith among other Sahaba-e-Kiram. So that is the brief summary regarding these Ashab-e Suffa Sahaba-e-Kiram.
Yes, sir, you just mentioned that they were Ahlul Ilm, Ahlul Ibadah. So it means that it was the first madrasa of Islam as well, that from where Sahabas were learning and then they became candles of knowledge. And then another thing, they were also, I think, best example of Sufis as well, because many Sufi, they take example from them as well. So in this regard, would you like to say something?
Yeah, that is considered as first madrasa of Islam. And that madrasa of Islam was regarding both knowledge and action. Because these Sahaba-e-Kiram would learn there everything. Knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and practice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Because when they remain or they stayed all the time in Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif, so whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get free from other activities, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit with them. And then they start asking questions, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started answering them. So because of that, these Sahaba-e-Kiram were more knowledgeable than many other Sahaba-e-Kiram. Because all the time they stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they learned all the time. That's why Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was objected. Objection was raised against Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that you accepted Islam very late, because Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam approximately in 8th of Hijri or the 9th of Hijri. So he stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just for 2 years or 3 years. So he was objected that when you got the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just for 2 years. So how is it possible to narrate a lot of hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other Sahaba-e-Kiram who has spent their whole life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they are not narrating ahadith in that big number. So what is that? So then Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala answered them, because other Sahaba-e-Kiram, they remain busy in their jobs and in their family matters. As Muhajirin, so they were busy in their trading, and Ansar Sahaba-e-Kiram, they were busy in their fields, because they were farmers. So I was one of Ashab-e Suffa. So I stayed all the time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I used to listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why, because I spent in those 2 or 3 years time more than other Sahaba-e-Kiram who spent their whole life with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why I learned a lot. That's why I memorized a lot, and I am narrating ahadith more than other Sahaba-e-Kiram. So that was Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. So in that way, because Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu conveyed knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tabi'in to ummah. So it means in that madrasa, Sahaba ikram used to learn knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were other Sahaba ikram, and when they are sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so what kind of passion and love with worship, with remembrance of Allah, with the recitation of the Holy Quran, they increase in their heart in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why many of these Sahaba ikram were huffaz. They memorized the Holy Quran. So why? Because they stayed there all the time. So that's why they learned practices from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were worshippers because all the time, because they didn't have any job. So what did they do? All the time, just there was only recitation of the Holy Quran, or the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, offering nafal prayer all the time. So that was their job, what they did there.
Asimosa, what I can learn from your, there are many points, but one thing which I learned especially, that they were free from any burden, free from the burden of family, free from the burden of business. So they were true students. So that's why, because they were free from many other relations or complications, that's why they were able to learn a lot within a short span of time. So my question is that, is it compulsory for today's student as well, that who is in madrasa learning knowledge, that in that phase of his life when he's learning, he must make himself free from any kind of burden and then get busy in learning, and in that way he will be able to learn more in short span?
I think this is an open secret, because the more time you will give to learning, the more you will learn. So those students who stayed at Jamia and they spent all their time in learning only, so they learn more than others. And other students who go to Jamia, but after that they do some other jobs for their earning or for some family matters, so they learn less, because the person who is giving, for example, 5 hours after their class times, who gives 5 hours, so he will learn more than those students who are giving only 2 hours. So, and I think because of that tradition, that custom of those Sahaba ikram who were Ashabi Sufa, so now scholars, they established madaris, and Sufi ikram, they established their khanqa. So in those khanqa, they taught their disciples spiritual knowledge and practices. And in madrasa field, so scholars taught their students Islamic knowledge. And then, alhamdulillah, many of them became muhaddithin and mufassirin and fuqaha and usulis and mutakallimin. So they became scholars like that. Because now, as we know, the sciences of Islam have increased. In beginning, there was Quran and Hadith. And because the world was very small in those days, and now the whole world is like Grove Village. So now the condition has totally changed. And that's why now the matters have increased a lot. Now one person is needed in the field of Hadith, the another person is needed in the field of Tafsir, the another, even in the field of Fiqh. In beginning, one Faqih was enough for all the matters of Fiqh, from beginning till end, from worships till the inheritance matters. But nowadays, the matter has increased to the extent that in each field, a person is needed. Means for a specialized person is needed in each field. As for the field of worships, we need some special people who would be expert in the field of worships. Then we need some other people who are expert in the field of the issues of marriage and divorce. Then other people who get expert in the field of business, particularly in the business field, in the transaction field, because the business is very, very vast nowadays. Even in the field of business, in worldly knowledge, in worldly sciences, how many people are expert in different fields? In the matter of business, I think there would be 100 branches of that science. And in each field, one special person is needed. So similarly, in the matter of religious sciences and religious knowledge, now in each field a specialist is needed. That's why in madrasa the people were taught Islamic sciences and knowledge, and in khanqa the people were taught spiritual knowledge
and practices.
So that was a division of duties and responsibilities, you can say.
Coming back to the topic, Mufti Sahib, Now what happens that sometime a guest wants to visit someone. Now he goes, that person goes and visits, but he doesn't care about time. For example, late in night someone goes and knocks at the door, and when he is told that that person is busy, so he gets angry. So my question is that what is the commandment of Sharia regarding those people who go visit somewhere, but they don't care about the time?
Some manners vary age to age, time to time. As in early days, in beginning when there was no mobile phone, there was no telephone. So that time, because there was no way of informing any person, so that's at that time the people could go and they could visit without asking permission and without taking any appointment. But nowadays, as mobile is available, telephone is available, so that's, and the people are busy and they have a lot of engagements, every person has. So that's why nowadays, I think according to the need of our age, it is emphasized and it is a desirable thing to take permission first and to call that person that I am coming to your home at that time, so are you available? If he says that I am available, so then that's okay, he can go there. But if without taking appointment, without taking time, if someone goes to the house of someone, so really he can give trouble to that person. Because sometimes what happens, one guest goes to the house of someone and that person is going somewhere else. So now he is at the door and this person at the door of at the same door. So now he has some engagements, he has to do somewhere, but because of this person he has to cancel his appointment and he has to delay his job and work, which might be very important, and he has to give time to this person. Because that is not the manner of people nowadays, that if someone is refused to meet, so he could come back without any anger. No, nowadays if someone is refused to meet, so he will get angry and he will say, okay, I will never come to your home and I will never meet you. So when that kind of temperament and that kind of mentality is nowadays, so that's why it is very emphasized to seek permission, to take time first, then go to the house of someone. Then even in taking permission, it is very emphasizing to think about the time. What time I am going to the house of someone? If at midnight, at 12 o'clock, one person is going to the house of other person, that time he has to sleep, his family has to sleep, the house is very small, the whole family will get in trouble because of this
unwanted guest.
Unwanted and blessed guest. So that will get in trouble. So that's why. And when this person goes to the house of that person, so now he should leave that person as well. Means he should come back as well. It shouldn't happen that till 1 o'clock, till 2 o'clock, till 3 o'clock, he is staying at his home and the whole family is confined in very small room, in storeroom or in drawing room, and they are waiting for leaving this person. So they have to do jobs the next day. This person has to go to his job, to go to his office. So that's why that kind of bad manners must not be done, must not be followed. So I would say nowadays we must think about the engagements of that person. And sometimes when that person is on job or he has, you can say, some personality particularly, so when the person is personality, so he would be busy and he must have many engagements. So when without taking permission we start wasting the time of that person, so really that person will never like our visit to his house. So that's why I would say it is very important to look this matter, because nowadays the people violate this manner, this rule, and then they give trouble to their host. And as there is one hadith regarding visiting a sick person, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should visit a sick person, but you shouldn't tease him. That is the summary of that hadith. What does that mean? Sometime, as it is usual in our areas, the people go to a sick person to visit him, to ask his condition and his ailment. So they stay there for a long time, for 2 hours or 3 hours. Now the host is sick, he is in pain, he is in trouble, and he is really praying for this person to leave his home, because he is in problem and he can't give time to him. And sometimes he is advised from doctor to keep silent and to take rest and not to talk too much. But this person will go to him and he will start asking questions. And sometimes he will ask those kind of questions which might be very harmful for that person. For example, one person is suffering from some certain kind of disease. And in that disease, many people have passed away. So now this person start telling him stories of those people. Oh, really, one person was my neighbor and he has passed away due to the same illness, due to the same sickness. So that person who is in the need of sympathy and who is in the need of some kind of encouragement and some kind of good words, and this person is telling him the stories of dead people and those people who have died because of the same disease. So the people do that. So I think it depends upon logic and the wisdom of a person. They should think what kind of words they should put forward in front of those people. That's why the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very beautiful. Whenever he visited any sick person, so most of the time his habit was to use these words, to say these words, la ba'sa bihi insha'Allah tahurun, means don't worry, inshallah this illness would become purifying for you. It will remove your sins, means it will remove your sins. So these kind of words were the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is one kind of manners. When we go to any sick person, visit any sick person, so that time we should use those words which are optimistic, which can create any hope in that person. Not that person gets pessimistic and he loses his hope in his life. So no, that kind of thing must not happen. The way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited sick people, so that should be adopted.
The viewers of Madani Channel, really what Mufti Sahib is saying, that sometimes you visit someone, he is sick, and because of your visit, he gets sick more than before. Allahu Akbar, his heart is already broken. You go and you break his heart more than before. And sometimes, a patient gets irritated just because of presence of those people who are aimlessly, uselessly talking around him. So especially in the case of a patient, when you are going and visiting him, so just sit for a while there, and then if it is possible and you know that you are not so important to him, then it is better to leave that place and go and sit somewhere else. So the viewers of Madani Channel, another thing which we must keep in our mind, and that is when we are visiting a personality. For example, you are visiting a Maulana Sahib or Peer Sahib. So sometimes we go and visit him and we become some sort of trouble for him. Because we think that it is only I who is going and visiting him. But there are many people like you who want to see him, visit him. But because of engagements of that Alim Sahib, Maulana Sahib and Peer Sahib, he is unable to meet those people. So, dear viewers of Madri Channel, it's all about our silsila. Inshallah, we will come again with the next beautiful episode of the same silsila. Until then, I seek permission. Inshallah, see you in future. May Almighty Allah Azzil make us practicing Muslim. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Sallu alal habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of